All right, so hi, I'm James.
Hi, I'm Liz.
And we are, as always, Pop Culture Whores.
I'd whore myself off to Tom Hardy in a heartbeat.
Thank you, Liz.
He is a good-looking man.
I was going to say, is this going to be like our thing, like the opening of every single episode?
It will be for me.
You have to say something like that? Because I approve of that.
It will be for me, because if Tom Hardy ever hears this, leave your wife and have sex with me once.
Okay.
Actually, no, that'd be horrible, because you have a baby and a wife. Someday Tom Hardy would be like, will come. Or I'll just make Todd look like Tom Hardy.
Oh, God damn it. Anyway, you're probably wondering, a bonus episode? How can you have a bonus episode already? No one listens to this shit. You've got some nerve, pal.
Well, they're kind of right.
Well, they're kind of right, but you don't say that. Wait, how are they talking to us if they're not listening? I'm thinking about this too much. Anyway, the reason...
Video drum, that's why.
Ah, thank you. The reason this is a bonus episode is because this episode is on Twilight. And
it's ending soon. Praise the light of Alan Moore.
Is Alan Moore God?
Yes, he is. He's a wizard.
I thought Orson Welles was God.
No. I just worship Alan Moore because he's a wizard. And he gave me Lost Girls.
The reason this is a bonus episode instead of being like a weekly release, and believe me, I could record this now and release it in a week or like 6 weeks from now, it would still be relevant, is because Twilight has been done to death. Everyone's done Twilight. There have been good things, bad things, mediocre things, that... One chick who does, like, the 15-minute reviews.
You mean Nutty Madam?
No, she does, like, movies in 15 minutes.
Okay, because there was this one Twilight fan called Nutty Madam. She's this obese Scottish lady who, like, she talks right into the camera to the point where the camera takes up her face, takes up the entire frame. And she cried when Kirsten Stewart Robert Pattinson broke up because Kirsten Stewart slept with the director or something of Snow White and the Huntsman.
Whatever.
Yeah. I know too much about that fandom.
The point is...
Because I assault them on a daily basis.
The point is that I don't feel like wasting everyone's valuable time doing a bit on Twilight without qualifying. Look, we know this has been done to death.
Yeah.
We just feel like doing it.
We were talking about this the other day. We were just like, man, I can't wait until this fucking franchise is goddamn over.
It is. It's about to be done. It is literally...
And you can tell, like, all the actors are trying to get away from it. I mean, Kirsten Stewart to Snow White and the Huntsman, and it kind of fucks up because all that cheating stuff came out. Although,
whatever.
You know what? Charlie Sheen can go fucking meth crazy.
Hey, Charlie Sheen is winning.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Charlie Sheen can shoot a woman and come back, so I think Kirsten Stewart can come back.
Robert Pattinson, is doing Cosmopolis.
Which is directed by David Cronenberg, which next week we're going to have Todd here in person, because Todd, out of the three of us, Todd is the big Cronenberg guy.
I'd like to claim second place in that.
You don't know me.
I don't know you. Wait, don't I know you?
You do, but don't you go saying that you like Cronenberg more than me.
All right. Then I'm third place.
We're tied for second.
All right, there we are.
But,
is he also doing, like, an adaptation of Belle or Ben?
Bellamy, yes. Yeah, he is doing Bellamy. And he also tried to get away from it by doing Water for Elephants. She's doing On the Road. Okay, look, I liked the book. If I can go on topic for, like, 2 seconds, the thing that bugged me about that movie was he wasn't right. I read the book. He wasn't right for the part of Jacob. And Reese Witherspoon was not good for the part of Marlena. I pictured someone like, you know, Eva Green, or, you know, who would have been good? Like, maybe Elizabeth Olsen would have been good, or,
Well, she'd been good at anything.
Well, she would have been, Lizzie, I don't know, like, I had a picture of, like, a very dark, I mean, and Marlena's supposed to be dark-haired, you know, I think she's Polish, so I'm like, fuck, it's like Southern Fried Reese Witherspoon doing it.
My thought, and this is what
And Robert Pattinson, I pictured, you know, the main character is a scrawnier guy. If you ever seen...
He's really scrawny.
Nah, but if you ever seen, like, I pictured more Jamie Bell, type of guy. Like, a little bit thinner.
Well...
Okay, but...
I must confess, I've never read the book. I saw the movie. First, like, hour, 2 hours of it was, like, Titanic at a circus, which, you know, if that's your thing, God bless you. Last 20 minutes of that movie, fucking insane.
Oh, yeah, the big animal ride, you mean?
Fucking insane!
Yeah, they did that well.
It's like the last 10 minutes of King Kong broke out or something.
I know. I will say this, they did the animal ride really well. But back to the main thing is, the two main actors of Twilight are so ready to leave that shit behind, and even... Like, with the girl who plays Alice is now in a horror movie. It's like she's...
No, she's also going to be in a... I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's like a political spoof. It's called Butter. That's it.
Okay, and there's and Anna Kendrick, who is arguably the most talented person there. She's already done Up in the Air, nominated for an Academy Award.
I was going to say, this is my constant joke about this, and I now have a chance to share it with the world. When they were filming The Twilight directly after Up in the Air, she had to be the world's biggest bitch to everyone. Like, oh, how have you guys been doing? I was nominated for an Oscar in a movie with George Clooney. What have all of you been doing? Oh, that's right, this!
Yeah, she probably was, and like, she was also in 50-50, the new comedy she's doing looks pretty funny, so a lot of people are trying to get away.
She's barely been in it, to be fair to her. He did Taylor Lautner. He did Abduction.
Which did nothing. And I think his career is essentially over after this. I don't know how you're going to recover being in love with a baby.
Pain.
Yeah, and then a lot of the other actors, I mean, they've always been sort of more bit part actors. They've never been, you know, main players. But they'll probably get work. I hope.
In this way, sort of the same way that, like, Sheila Booth currently gets work.
What's her name? The woman who plays the mother, Elizabeth Reeser. She is. She was in Young Adult, and I actually liked her performance in that. She was Patrick Wilson's wife.
Shit, I barely noticed. You know why I didn't recognize her? Because she's like she's barely in the Twilight movies.
She is. I kind of love how they're like Twilight star. They're in the movie for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know, right?
This is why I think Anna Kendrick is probably going to be fine, because she's in it for, like, 2 seconds. And she also had the funniest line in Breaking Dawn, because she was just like, where's the baby bump? Come on, no one gets married at 18.
Well, I'm going to open up to something.
Yeah.
The first time, I've seen all these movies every way there is, but the first time I watched all of them, it was with Riff Tracks.
See, I didn't have that luxury.
You should all, everyone should watch them with Riff Tracks, because Jesus loves Riff Tracks, and so should you. But,
Cinematic Titanic's better.
I've no doubt. But, I'm going to be cribbing a lot of their jokes. Like, for example, I can't remember the name of the southern guy. He bangs the girl who's like Drusilla, but not. Jasper, that's it. Well, they call him Evil Harpo, and I'm
what?
Because he looks like Harpo Marx.
How dare they insult Harpo Marx that way?
He looks like Harpo Marx. It's not Harpo's fault. Anyway, he's Evil Harpo to me. I don't bother to remember his name. I barely absorb anyone's name in these series. Like, if you ask me, like, what the name of the mother is of the vampire family, I couldn't tell you.
You do that on Game of Thrones, too. You call Cersei and Jaime the incest twins.
Well, I know their names now because the reason for that was because there's, like, 1,500 characters on Game of Thrones, and I'm trying to keep track of them all, so I'm like, they're immediately distinguishing characteristics. Those two,
you called
incest.
Tyrion the midget until, like, the end of season one.
No. Then I transferred over to the imp.
Okay. Anywho, now me, I didn't see it with Riff Tracks. I actually read the book not knowing much about it and just going like, okay. From what I heard is, I'm like, oh, this sounds like a weird take on vampires on the love story. I wonder what this will be like. I'm like, oh, they can actually kind of go out in the sun. And then I read like 50 pages and just thought, this Bella bitch is boring as shit. And then like reading into more of like what like. The subtext and the synopsis, and I'm like, this sounds so fucking unhealthy. You're 17. Why are you devoting this much time to a relationship? It's like those girls on 16 and pregnant who are like, my boyfriend knocked me up, but I think we're gonna make it now because I'm pregnant. Yes, that's actually how the show starts. And I just look at it and I'm just like, why would, you know, you're 17. Why would you go like, I know what I want. This is my man forever. Bitch, you're crazy. So it's
that's Twilight in a sentence, bitch, you crazy.
Yeah, and like, so eventually I saw, like, the only book I read the whole way through was the fourth one, because people told me how batshit crazy it was.
That's one of those books where it's like,
and I read the whole thing, and like, the only interesting part is when she gives birth, like, vampire teeth C-section, werewolf falls in love with baby, and then there's supposed to be this big build-up introduced to a ton of fucking characters that no one gives two shits about, and then nothing happens. It's all, okay, we good, bye. No one dies. I mean, Bella doesn't even earn her happiness. She's essentially, like, both of these kids are essentially, well, does Edward Cullen count as a kid, but Bella is this character who, all she does is act impulsively, she puts no thought into the future, and she gets rewarded. And that just bugs me as a human being. I'm like, no, if I had done that, if I had married, like, the first guy I ever had, like, a real, somewhat relationship with, I'd be stuck with that mistake from college, you... I wanted to say earlier, can't eat pussy for shit.
I think that was what you said.
Yes. I would have been stuck with a loser, essentially.
My first exposure to Twilight, and this is one of those things where I think I, like, go into cultural comas, like, like for, like, weeks or years on end, because I'm fairly isolated from a good portion
of
culture.
Well, you were in Alaska for a while.
I was, but I don't think that was even it. I think it was, like, I saw a trailer for the movie, and I was sitting there going, man, that looks like shit. It looks like a shitty Smallville knockoff, and Smallville isn't exceptionally good to begin with. So I then go look it up because, like, a bunch of people are apparently looking forward to it. I thought it was this huge thing. Like, where the fuck did this come from?
That's kind of how I found out about it, too. I didn't know the fandom. I just knew this was a thing that was happening, and I'm like, okay, this reads like a girl who's a cipher and a guy who has abusive tendencies. Fuck that shit. I read Wuthering Heights when it was actually a novel about two people who hate each other.
There's a theory, and I agree with it, going around that Wuthering Heights is actually a psychological horror story about two self-destructive people who, instead of destroying themselves, destroy everyone around them.
Well, actually, that kind of works. Have you ever read it? Whenever people say it's a love story, I'm like, no, it's a hate story.
It is.
It's people who hate fuck the world.
But my comment on the relationship, and we're going to go more in depth. Again, I'm going to crib this joke from Riff Tracks, just an example of why you should watch it. They're doing the wedding. And one of the guys is crying, like, are you crying? Look, when I see an 18-year-old girl impulsively marrying a much older man, I know that one day they're going to have a really good episode of Cops about them.
I'd love to see the Cullens on Cops.
But there's just...
There really is, I mean, removing the impulsiveness, some of the things that he does, like watching her when he sleeps, he tells her who she can and can't talk to.
Yep.
At one point, he removes her car engine so she can't drive it. I'm like, that's the point in the Lifetime movie where the character realizes her husband's trying to kill her.
There's the whole watching her while she sleeps thing. And maybe it's because I'm biased, because Buffy is one of my favorite shows in the world, but I sort of get the feeling that,
He breaks into her house, though, and watches her while she sleeps.
I know, but I get this feeling that, she's the writer, Stephanie Meyer, she's a Mormon. I get the feeling that she wanted to watch Buffy, but she was told it was sinful, so she watched it in secret. She didn't absorb a lot of it.
Well, cult members are known to be stupid.
And one of those things that I get, like, yes, Angel watched Buffy while she slept. Sidebar, he was evil when he did that, and he followed that up by murdering one of her teachers.
Yeah, so it's, I don't know, I think she's someone who clearly, I mean, sorry if there's any Mormons listening to it, but I think you're you're a part of a cult that was founded by a con man who wanted an excuse to treat women like chattel, much like a lot of religion.
Isn't it like half of the world's
yes, that
cults?
Is, right that there? Is, that is. But I've read the Book of Mormon, if you read... The books of women who have escaped. I mean, granted, they're the more LDS farm cults. You know, even people who are ex-regular Mormons will say that the relationships there are a lot... Like, the men have this big patriarchy thing where it's all about... They don't see their wives, as partners, as, you know, people that they want to spend the rest of their lives with. They see them more as their possessions.
Well,
you know, which is why when people go, oh, I love, you know, Edward Isolde's fashion, like, he's old-fashioned in a way that isn't exactly a good thing. I don't know if I'm reading too much into this.
You're not. There's no such thing as reading too much into things.
That's okay, fine. I have read too much into some things. Like, if you read too much into Premium Rush, it's gonna be, you're sad.
No, there's no such thing as reading too much into something. There are things where you shouldn't do it, but there's no such thing as going too far with
it. Yeah.
But, and I'm not an expert on the Mormon religion. I may have gotten most of my knowledge of the Mormon religion from Tabloid and the Book of Mormon. I don't mean the Book of Mormon, I mean the musical.
Yeah. I actually read the Book of Mormon. Oh my god, it's so fucking stupid.
Like,
really? How do you people believe that shit?
But there seems to be some...
Oh my god. In case anyone can't tell, I'm an atheist.
I think we all are. but it's one of those things where there have been some analyses... That's not a word. There have been some analyses... That's not a word either. I don't fucking care.
Analyzations?
There's been some analyzations from a Mormon point of view, how, like, even if she didn't do it intentionally, aspects of
her culture are integrated.
Yeah,
into
how
the
they
story.
Sort of wandered into it. And she says, and she said this openly, I don't recall if I can even find the interview where she said this, that she wrote down her fantasies for this. And
she did. They came from a dream. So essentially, what you are reading when you read Twilight is Stephanie Meyer's wet dream.
So it's her sucker punch? Boom!
Yes.
But, and, you know, obviously, there are going to be aspects of your life that are going to be influenced by your religion. And there's nothing wrong with inserting aspects of your religion into your art. Like,
look at the Golden Compass and the Chronicles of Narnia, and Lord of the Rings.
Even more modern day stuff. Like, I was going to use Dogma as an example, or The Crow. You know, these obviously have like the whole like Dogma is full of Catholic angst, and that's fine. But
I can relate to that so much.
There are aspects of it where it gets kind of creepy, where it starts to be kind of weird, especially in Twilight's really, really suspicious relationship with the female. Like, I'm going to skip over the fact that she's a cipher. She is a character.
She is a Mary Sue.
She's kept blank, and I do mean blank, so that you can author it, so that you can the readers can insert themselves into it. But there is something ridiculously like abusive about Edward. There are weird, like, just the whole relationship is just really strange to me.
It is. I mean, I was never brought up thinking your whole life has to revolve around a relationship. So the idea, like, oh, there's this line in New Moon where she's just like, I feel like my satellite is gone. I'm like, you're 17. Why aren't you thinking about college? Why is your life revolving around this guy who is a vampire? And it's not like he's got cool history to him, like Bill on Air. It's not like he's Eric from True Blood. If he was Eric from True Blood, I could kind of understand, because Eric is hot as shit. And Bill from True Blood, you know, he's got his problems, but interesting guy. I mean, the vampires on True Blood, massively better than the vampires on Twilight.
When it comes to vampires and sexuality, I'm still sort of hung up on Spike.
I know you are.
Just the coat. And Drusilla. I'm also quite sexually attracted to Drusilla.
Give me Sheriff Eric, give me nothing.
I'm also sexually attracted to Faye. So what is that? Anyway, we're getting off topic here. Wait, are you saying that you and I are getting off topic?
Oh,
madness. but there is some, and maybe it's because, you know, and there are certain aspects of it which are, like, very, very old-fashioned. Like, I actually wrote an article for one of, like, my essays when I was in school about how the werewolves, and I'm going to get back into the werewolves on a different aspect of them, but just like now, how the werewolves, like, if you, vampirism is always a metaphor for sex. Let's start with that.
Yep.
It's one of those things where there are degrees, like, zombieism can be a metaphor for anything. It can be a metaphor for consumerism, for stupidity, for lack of education. I've seen a movie where zombieism was a metaphor for rape.
Oh, is that Dead Girl?
That's Dead Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Werewolfism can be a metaphor for multiple things, but it's always in the same ballpark. Usually puberty, growing up, that kind of thing.
Ginger Snaps is actually the best modern vampire, werewolf movie.
But vampirism is always a metaphor for sex. So there are no exceptions. Like, going all the way back past Dracula, all the way to Carmilla.
Oh, yeah.
Vampirism is a metaphor for sex. So when you take out vampirism from the equation, from the story about Twilight, and you insert sex or virginity, and it becomes really, really weird. Like, he won't have sex with her until she's married. Fine, you want to be like that, that's your call. But then you get into the werewolves, is where this is actually going. And these are people who, if she loses her virginity in the wrong way, they are required to hunt her down. That doesn't have a real-world equivalent. Oh, wait, it totally does. So it's, you look at this, and there are other aspects of it that are creepy, like the whole, like, by exception incest shit going on with the family, though since Anne Rice also writes vampire books, I suppose she count ourselves lucky that's merely a weird vibe as opposed to, like, the point of the entire series.
yeah, they pretend to be siblings, but they're actually together.
Like, just to let you all know, if Stephanie Meyer has issue, Anne Rice has issues.
Yeah, I don't mind Anne Rice, but yeah, she's got some problems. Although her really old erotica, holy shit, that shit's fun to read.
Are you talking about the Sleeping Beauty thing?
Yep.
Oh my god.
It is hilariously bad. And not, like...
It makes Fifty Shades of Grey look conservative.
I know, but it's at least better written than Fifty Shades of Grey.
That's true. That's not hard enough.
Why the frig is fanfiction getting published as an actual novel? Like, why isn't my Titan AE and Akira fanfiction getting published as novels?
You should change some names around and resubmit it.
Oh, I don't want anyone to ever read those ever. Although, I had a problem with my Titan AE one.
I'm not going to ever admit to having written fanfiction.
See, I'll at least admit it, just no one will ever see it ever.
If I did admit to it, I would say I will never. If it was online, it's no longer online. It will never go up again.
I never submitted it ever. They were all personal writings. I almost put one up on fanfiction.net and then never did. Which I'm glad about. Glad about.
That was an excellent call on your part.
Never see my writing.
No, fanfiction.
There can be good fanfiction.
Like, they're supposedly, I've never actually read it, I only found out about it on TV Tropes. There's supposedly a fairly in-depth Twilight fanfiction where instead of being a useless empty cipher, Bella is essentially Hermione.
That would never happen.
No, she's, like, really ridiculously smart, is the point.
I'm not wrapping my head around that.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept, but...
Okay, but back to what you were talking about. So I can call Todd, then we can talk about the movies.
Yeah, I do kind of want to say that my moment of clarity when it came to Twilight was, weirdly enough, when I saw, like, a movie poster for which included all of the werewolf guys who look like a J. Crew ad. You know, they're all buff, they're quiet, and according to the mythology of the thing is absolutely terrible, we're not going to...
Yeah, she doesn't even know what the mythology is of these creatures, which makes me so mad.
But, they're not actually werewolves, they're shapeshifters, but I'm not going to get into that. That's a whole other issue, and that's a mistake people make fairly regularly. And they're standing there without their shirts on, and guys are all making fun of it, and I had this sort of moment of clarity when looking at them, like, wait a second, is this what, I read the mythology. Well, I should probably point back to this, but I read the reasons why they have to wear shirts, and they say it's because their clothes would get ripped, and my first thought was, that's dumb, because, you know, the transformation sequence is summoning, like, 300 pounds of wolf out of nothingness. There's no reason it can't have those clothes disappear to that nothingness and come back. And then there is, wait a second, this is the exact same explanations we come up with for why Power Girl dresses the way she does.
I know. And, you know, Stephanie Meyer has never read Power Girl.
No, but it was this sort of weird moment of clarity that it's trying to do that pandering thing.
I know.
That they do, like, it's the same kind of explanation for why women in fantasy stories wear those insanity chainmail bikini things.
Yep.
So, I that's when I was first inspired to read these things. I both read the books and seen the movies.
And I will actually say the first Twilight movie I love is a guilty pleasure just because it's so fucking stupid.
It's like a pair of you said this on our bad movie podcast. It's like a pair of, like, completely socially inept people.
People with Asperger's.
Falling in love.
Aspies in love. And with that, we're actually going to call my boyfriend because he's seen them as well.
Well, I wanted to address, do you remember in the second movie where they
I don't remember the second.
You don't remember the second movie?
Not that well. No one remembers the second movie.
There was that long sequence where they had, like, they kept panning around the room with her just sitting there.
Hey, we're on podcast now. We're talking about the Twilight movies. So you keep going, James, and Todd, chime in.
That really long sequence with, like, panning around her, with her sitting there in the chair. And I saw that movie before I read the books, and... For those of you who don't know, in that part in the books is like 6 or 7 blank pages with just the month written at the top.
See? Your life is nothing if a man isn't there. You're not nothing. And we've seen, I remember Todd, I showed you the first movie, and the minute they got to This Is the Skin of a Killer, you...
It's the skin of a disco ball.
Yes. If you can't hear, it's the skin of a disco ball, is what Todd said. But
it's the skin of a disco ball. It has an audible sparkle. That I can't even think. It's like, no! Who made that decision?
The thing that got...
For the edge, it's a little dingling sound
to me. It's like something out of... It's like something out of an anime. A bad one.
Oh my god, it's like the teeth gleam in Dracula!
Exactly, exactly! My god!
The thing I remember, though...
I think that movie can scratch the vampires better.
Yes, it did. Everything other than Twilight. There's very few movies that do vampires as poorly as Twilight does. The thing I remember, though, is just, I showed you that moment, and you just went into this, like, 2 minute long roaring laughter. I couldn't even...
My face hurt after that movie.
What?
My face hurt.
Yes! It was such a primal reaction of laughter, just... I wish I could imitate your laughter, and I don't think I've heard you laugh like that since.
I was also, and this is a minor thing, I was also really quite amused. You know, The New Moon was the first one that I saw, and it's one of those movies where it was like a life-changing thing. Like, I didn't get the hate up until that point. That was like, I thought
you
the hate...
You didn't really?
I didn't understand. I hadn't seen any of the books.
Yes, why?
I thought that it was probably overblown. I thought, okay, it's terrible. A lot of things are terrible. Scratch that. Most things are terrible. Surgeon's Law. 90% of everything is crap. But it was watching that movie. I was like, oh, this is why they hate it.
Yes.
But when
that was the sad part. I went into the sequel expecting more hilariously over-the-top stupidity. I was bored to tears.
I know! I was too!
The one that really bored me was the fourth one, but...
Well, Breaking Dawn's a whole other issue. The only thing good out of that was the blogger who went, "My baby! It's my baby! No, the mother still might live. No, it's my baby!"
I was a huge fan of the fact that... Of the whole, like... I was a huge fan of the fact that essentially, like, if you replaced Bella with John Hurt, you'd have the the dinner sequence from Alien.
Yes! Holla!
But,
That's what I was hoping for.
I know.
Like,
I wanted a bloody birth. I wanted to see the teeth hitting the flesh. I wanted to see that vampire C-section, and we got nothing.
Well, that was the issue. Like, this is the moment. This is the moment to go so completely insane. Just, like, throw yourself past all of the other ones and go to, like, the weird places. But, like, Cronenberg goes whenever he's bored. Like,
yeah.
Videodrome weird. And they just, like... They,
crash weird.
Yeah, like, yeah, it would, and it was just muted and, like, what? You can't pretend that you're tasteful now. You're not tasteful.
You're
Twilight.
Terrible. You're Twilight.
You are a Harlequin romance. Act like it.
Yeah. Although, I don't know if I'd want to see those two bone. The faces that they have in this series is just a look of pain and misery. I don't think I'd want to watch their own faces.
Well, it's one of those things where I'm watching... Go. You go, Todd.
I just have one thought. I wonder if there are any old faces there. All I just think is, years ago, in Anime Boss, I saw one horrible hentai where basically the main protagonist, every second, he just has the same very smug little grin on. He's not getting into the moment. Like, he started ripping what the hell he was really thinking during these sex scenes. The oven on.
I don't know. Like, it's the whole thing with Breaking Dawn is that it is essentially 15 minutes of craziness or 15 pages of craziness stretched out into like 600 pages or two movies, and I'm like, why?
I didn't recognize Robert Pattinson from Harry Potter at first. So the first time I saw that, I thought, man, he's not very good looking. What is the big fucking
His face looks like a fucking foot.
Well, ignore it. Like, then I saw him in... Harry Potter, like, I rewatched the fourth, I'm like, oh, that's Edward. Wait a second, that filter, like, whatever awful filter they have...
No one looks good in these movies, that's one thing I've noticed.
It makes them look terrible.
And, like, every one I've noticed has a different, like, weird color scheme. Like, the first one was blue, the second one was brown, the fourth one was, like, I guess gray, and then...
I think they sort of dropped the color scheme.
I feel like the first one there was trying to capture a Tim Burton filter.
Oh, no. This is what Catherine Hartwick does. If you've seen 13, like, she uses the blue filter a lot. And I guess whenever she's doing Teen Angst, she's like, put on the blue filter!
Catherine Hartwick's not a very good director.
Which is a shame, because 13 was actually a promising movie, and I didn't mind Lords of Dogtown. And then, just after that, she became suck.
Yeah, it did kind of go downhill after that.
God damn it, Catherine. And then she... Then she wears braids. In what world can a white woman wear cornrows? God damn it, Bo Derek, you ruined everything.
My original point was, there was the moment that I started to really, really hate New Moon. Because, again, first one I watched was when she's lying in bed screaming because Edward left. And it was...
Your life is probably better for it, honey.
I was sitting there going, are you fucking kidding me? You got... It's like Johnny at the end of the room, like, you got dumped, honey. Get over it.
Oh, no. Or she's like, she can't even move out of the woods. She's got to get carried out. Like, really, hon?
You know, if the police chief in that movie, if I saw a half-naked guy carrying my... Or sorry, a guy just wearing his boxers carrying my daughter out of the wood, I would go for a gun so fast.
I would, too. Actually, I will say this. Billy Burke is the dad. I think
Mustache dad.
I kind of like him in the movie because he seems actually very believable as the father, how he's just like, I don't get what the fuck my teenage daughter's doing.
He seems to be coming out of a different movie.
What?
That's not
prop
beer he's drinking. That's real alcohol to get through those shots.
And then there's Graham Greene. Poor Graham Greene.
Aw, Graham Greene. What
a movie. He was like, no. You're a good actor. Go, no.
Why are you in this? Like, I...
Hollywood even... even Hollywood crests on their culture.
I know. Like, well, yeah. Stephanie Meyer's understanding of Native American culture, and I don't claim to be an expert on that, but the fact that there are so many actual Native Americans who were like, what the fuck are you doing? That would lead me enough to think, okay, this woman is stupid.
Well, she's obviously stupid. That's not the question. I think she has some fairly serious issues. She's indetermined to foist them all upon us.
Well, I think, I don't know, she's probably, like, before this she got a degree at Brigham Young and she was a housewife with three kids. I'd hate that shit, too. And, like, again, she's in a culture which almost dictates that, you know, a woman's primary function is as a wife and mother. And I'm like, you know, there's a part of me that's actually very happy she's able to write and, you know, do something for her own and have an identity outside of what her culture and religion dictates for her, but at the same time, her writing sucks.
Well, you said this earlier.
See, the bad thing is, you look at the idea as it is, if it was handled in a different tone, it would actually be a very great, very freaky little story. Like, this would be like David Lynch-style creepy romance.
I don't know if we ever want to get into David Lynch-style creepy.
That's the problem.
I said this to her, I'm going to say it again. If I didn't know better, I would think that Twilight was, like, a much better series on, like, existing someplace else, and that this particular series of stories were a bunch of, like, really bad fanfics that someone uploaded to, like, where do people upload
fanfiction? Fanfiction.net! Okay, you know, there is some good stuff on fanfiction.net, and I read it.
It reads like it's on fanfiction, and... I was saying this, you were talking about how, like, I always assumed that imprinting was ripped off ElfQuest, if anyone remembers that besides me.
I don't game.
It's a comic.
Oh, no, ElfQuest. Oh, wait. No, I've seen it. I just never read it.
Oh, it's, like, one of the early bits about that is that, you know, they have something very, like, kind of like imprinting, but they, like, actually make a big deal out of it, and there's actually, like, you can struggle against it or stuff. It's much more complicated. But... you said this, that there's, like, this thing in the Mormon religion where you, like, when you meet your soulmate...
You know immediately. And they also have this thing where it's okay for older men to marry younger women, especially in the really crazy FLDS cults. So I wonder if that comes from it as well. I mean, I don't know. Like, it just... Mormons are freaky as shit. They're like Scientologists without the hunt you down and kill you.
Mormons won't hunt you down and kill you.
No. It's entirely
gone. It's just, there tend to be a bit more forgiving by comparison.
It's one of those things, and I find it interesting, where, like, so much of the things that Twilight considers the height of romance are, like, completely retrograde reactionary bullshit.
And horrifying. Todd, if you took the engine out of my car, I would hunt you down, and you know that.
But, like...
Yes, free Fitbit.
Yeah.
Like, by exception, incest, child brides, being, like, essentially, like, if you try to, like, take the metaphor to its logical conclusion, like, being sold to someone when it comes to imprinting, marrying someone, like, 100 years your junior, like, all that shit, that's, like, scary-ass shit. And they're like, oh, it's so romantic.
No, it's
not. That's the thing. This is a great fucking horror story, and it's not being handled as such.
I know. Well, and also, like, I think she gave some of the side characters really good backstories. I always thought the character of Alice, the one who could see things, she had a good story where she didn't remember any of her life as a human. She just woke up as a vampire in a mental institution. One of the guys fought in the Civil War. Like, the father was a doctor from the 1600s. I'm like, these are good backstories that could actually be explored, but no, we're stuck with emo vampire, Cypher, and pedo wolf. Oh god, that keep getting older and they stay the same age.
Oh my god, no. Oh my god, it's
also,
in my head.
Why would you go to high school for the rest of your life? Oh my god, you could have been in college. He could have passed for a college student.
He is a, well, it's because the actor is a
college student. You can't have a lot more variety that way. They just pretend you're right through the same course as Ad Infinitum.
I know, like, or just maybe they could have said he's homeschooled and he could have been a scientist or something. I don't know. I'm just like, why would you spend your entire fucking life going to high school?
So much, like, so much of it just doesn't make any sense. Like, there are some fairly large lapses in logic.
Like, why would you fall in love with someone who could kill you?
Well, yeah, another thing that I've come to classify bad movies with is the Jar Jar moment. That is, this is actually a fairly in-depth thing for me because it took a few watchings of The Phantom Menace for me to identify this. The Jar Jar moment is a moment where a movie where the main issue is that there are a bunch of things that don't make sense. It's where all of those things compound on the movie, like they've all added up, all the breaks in logic, and the movie just breaks. Where it just...
The writing version of the car crash from the
Blues Brothers. Exactly. Like, it's just, like, so many lapses in logic have happened that the movie is officially broken, like, you cannot recover. And in Phantom Menace, it's the moment where they tell Jar Jar to take them under the water. And at that point, just so little of the movie makes sense that you can't recover. And Twilight has that moment, like, around the time they start making out in her bedroom, which means it lasted longer than Phantom Menace, but it's only because it's paced like a snail.
Yeah.
And just, like, she says, I watch you while you sleep. And we're going to ignore for the moment that he is a 100 times physically stronger than her, that he's admitted openly.
As if you could outrun me!
Exactly.
As if you could fight me off!
Like, he's admitted
openly. Like that, and she's going to scream when he's gone? I'm so relieved.
Like, there's, like, ignoring for the moment that he's openly admitted that he wants to kill her, that he doesn't know if he can control it, stop himself from killing her. If I had a girlfriend who was like 4 feet, who was like a foot shorter than me and weighed 110 pounds, and she said she'd watch me on my sleep, I would still be alarmed. That's creepy shit right there.
Hey Todd, I watch you while you sleep.
See, that's more impressive given where he lives.
Todd, everyone will know that I will fall asleep before him, and then I, like, will wake up, and he'll just wake up by default, so, yeah, that never happens.
Fair enough. But, no, like...
Oh, God, Coulson.
Coulson, you are the greatest person ever.
Coulson for president!
I'm going to get the Avengers, Coulson, and we're going to avenge you!
Coulson, they better, like, bring Coulson back. I don't care how. I love him.
But,
also, do you watch the animated Spider-Man when Coulson was on and Coulson went, like, undercover as a school principal and then he went native and started talking about the budget?
I do not.
It's such a great moment.
But, I was talking about...
Even made bad movies. This discussion is proven.
There was,
Anyway.
I wanted to say this. A while back, and I wish I could find a source for this, they were talking about how, like, they were getting ready to adapt the first Twilight book because they knew it was popular, they just didn't know how popular. And, like, one of the test scripts had, like, a subplot involving FBI agents following vampires, like, trying to figure out what was up with them. They had a subplot, like, the villain was around much more often, he and Edward had a lot more fights, and I was thinking about, like, man, that sounds like a much better movie!
I know!
And then they found out how big the fandom was, and so they're like, oh, we have to, like, do faithful adaptations. And the book adaptations are so faithful. I'm sitting there like, how is it that Harry Potter gets these, like, chop-out-half-the-subplot adaptations, whereas fucking Twilight gets, like, page for page scripts. How does that happen? Why is that real?
Well, at least we have, at least you have the faithful Lord of the Rings.
Even Lord of the Rings, like, cuts subplots.
I know. Look, you know what? I'm just bitter because I don't get my faithful Golden Compass adaptation.
Oh, don't talk to me about the Golden Compass movie.
No, it's a horrible movie. It's one of my favorite book series, and they cut out everything about it.
Yeah, they're like, I was so curious to see how they cut the whole, like, the enemy is God. Oh, yeah, for all of you who don't know the Golden Compass, the villain is God.
In the Vatican.
Not like, sort of, like God, no, God, as in the Christian God.
In the Vatican.
And in the first movie...
And this, it's true in the real life.
In the first movie, yeah, the Vatican is the villain. The first movie, they worked themselves over around in knots trying to avoid that, which ended up being a problem because the movie was already way too front-loaded with exposition and they had to add in so much more. I was thinking, like, man, you better hope this is a failure, because then you're gonna have to do the second two books where it gets really explicit.
I know, but yeah, I'm just mad because I love the Golden Compass story.
It starts to bother, and I think it's just because that's so little happens in the Twilight books, like the Harry Potter books, especially once you get from the fourth one onwards. There's such dense stories, like you have like six or seven different subplots, like just like...
See, when I saw the Harry Potter and the Goblet... Go on.
Wait, you mean with the books, this isn't like the Davos chapters of A Song of Ice and Fire where it doesn't look like that, because there's a lot of internal thought process?
Nothing
happens.
Just nothing happens. Like, with Harry Potter... I thought they should have been splitting it into two from, like, the book Goblet of Fire on.
No, but, like, in the fourth Harry Potter books, like, for example, you have the subplot involving the Weasley twins and Mr. Bagman, you have the whole Crouch is going crazy thing, you have the imposter Moody subplot, you have Winky involved, you have Dobby involved, there's so many different things flying around, and in the book, in the Twilight books, it's like, but like, the second, like, use New Moon as my example, because it's the one I know the best. The entire plot is Bella is moping about Edward being gone.
And she's starting to get a relationship with,
And she's being a massive cock tease towards Jacob.
And she's falling in love with Groundskeeper Willie, Native American.
I'm sorry. But yeah, no, like, that kills me. Is we can't get faithful adaptations of, like, legitimately good books, but Twilight... Like, but you know, I think that's just because Twilight's easier to adapt.
Yeah, it's just like...
Because nothing happens.
And then there's the fact you have, like the first two directors. I don't remember... Catherine Hardwicke and whatever the other guy's name was.
Although Chris Wise did About a Boy, which is actually a fairly good movie.
Oh.
And then he went on to do, I think he went on to do the movie A Better Life.
Hmm.
So, like, he's done good movies. David Slade.
I was gonna say, David Slade was the one that made me like, are you fucking kidding me?
You did 30 Days of Night.
What
are you
hard
doing?
Hard Candy. He did fucking Hard Candy.
And you're doing this pansy shit. And Bill Condon.
Did they drive a dump... did they drive a dump truck full of money up to your house?
Probably.
And I keep hoping, like, each of these directors, like, David Slade was the one where I had hope, just like, man, he's gonna take this and he's gonna rip its guts out. He's gonna, like, reshape it into a good movie. Then he doesn't!
Because, you know what, you can only do so much with shit material.
Well, no, that's not true at all. Like, have you ever read the book The Godfather is based off?
Todd?
Oh, yeah, that was...
It's garbage. It's pulp garbage. It's like, it's worse than most Airplane books. It's like, it's just awful, but then you give it to a good director and he makes it one of the greatest movies of all time. But, you know...
In the same vein, I'll give for another example. You know, Shawshank Redemption with these short stories, the movie fucking kicks the out of it.
Exactly. It works both ways. Like, I'm trying to think. Bonfire of the Vanities is, like, really important novel. They made it into a movie, and it was awful.
Handmaid's Tale. Handmaid's Tale is my favorite book of all time.
Exactly. It's a fantastic novel.
And the movie adaptation, although I will give, they did some things right, and there are a few moments in that film that are genuinely give me chills, because they are what I imagine, but, although The Handmaid's Tale had more to do with, you know, again, Christians apparently can't take any criticism. Ever. The minute you say, oh, you mean there might be a... I won't get into it. Anyway, and also budget. Budget was a huge problem, but still... they took my favorite novel and really bad adaptation of Watchmen.
Watchmen.
I'm sorry, Watchmen was a bad adaptation.
To a lesser extent, V for Vendetta. You can make good movies. I will never accept that this movie sucked because the source material sucked. You can make a good movie out of anything and everything.
Yeah, even if you change a lot.
You're eventually going to, and for certain things, and this would be what you do with Twilight, you've got to rip it apart and reshape it, rebuild it. But,
imagine if it had been given to David Lynch.
I'm going to hide under the bed now.
imagine if Warren had been given uses of classical music and original, not so much classical, like 50s rock and really creepy long stairs.
Isn't that what they already have? Like, again, using gripping jokes from the riff tracks. That's the man staring across the room from Denny's at you. like half the... And, you know, that's the thing with the fourth one. Like, half the movie is just... Like, people complain about art house movies that are, like, people staring off in the distance. Half of Breaking Dawn Part 1 is just them staring at nothing. There's, like, when she finds out that she's pregnant, there is a solid, like... 90 seconds where she's just...
We've timed it!
Where she's just, like, standing there and going... I'm sitting there going, close your mouth. Close your mouth.
Do I have to come in there and push your chin up for you?
I will tie it there.
Oh. Someone sitting behind the camera dangling a set of keys from the
mirror. I don't know, but it's... You know what? The best thing is, it's coming to an end.
It is.
It's coming to an end, and we never have to hear about it again.
Oh. Well, that... little.
God,
you know,
we hope.
No, I heard they're thinking of rebooting, and I'm like, no.
Well, that's the other thing, you know. Stephanie Myers isn't certainly done. Like, there was, I don't even know the name of the book. I'm
the
sure
Host.
No. I was going to go into The Host in a moment. But there was, like, back directly after Breaking Dawn, she had, like, a copy. She like, gave Arpatz a copy of a book she was working
Midnight
on.
Midnight Sun.
That, yeah, where it was, like, Twilight from Edward's perspective. I was like, are you really going to milk that? Are you really going to make, like...
What, oh, funny story behind that. Apparently that got leaked, and it hurt her feelings so much she's not going to work on it.
She threw a temper tantrum and refused. But
now, so, thankful. Be thankful for that.
And what about the perfect title for it? You could have called it Edward, Portrait of a Serial Stalker.
I could go for that.
Okay, it's a lame joke, I'll admit, but...
No, it was good. I agree.
You just watched that last night, which is, oh my god, that's one of the creepiest movies ever.
Perfume?
No. Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Oh.
Have you not seen that movie?
I have not seen that movie.
Oh my.
That's a discussion for another time.
Oh lord.
But, and then she did one which was like...
Wait, Todd was saying something.
Oh.
Todd. You were saying something.
Yeah, I will say it is a good movie, but it is also very fucking uncomfortable to watch.
It's kind of like watching a girl with a dragon tattoo with your mom, right? Right,
I know, uncomfortable. This is more like I sit on your grave uncomfortable.
Oh, okay.
I was...
Like the fact that I need you... I'm like, I've seen that part. You can watch that on your own, but I'm not watching that with you because that'll be the most uncomfortable thing in the world.
That sounds like it's a little... If I know who they're talking about... The serial killer talking about, it sounds a little more like watching Irreversible with your mom.
Oh god, don't tell me you watched Irreversible.
What I've heard, I think Irreversible might take the prize there.
Irreversible's pretty, I've never watched it with my mother, but I've watched it alone. I'm pretty fucking uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's just like,
But, like, and then she did another book. Don't recall the title. Not
The Short Second Life of Bree Tanner. Why do I know this?
Why do you know this?
Shut up. It's because I go on the internet and we all make... Yeah, library work, and also I go on the internet and make fun of it with people.
But, and it was like, there's, like, a ridiculously minor character in the third one who, like, dies at the end of the third one, foregone conclusion much. And, She wrote an entire book about this ridiculously minor...
Technically novella.
What?
Technically a novella.
Woo.
Okay, go on. Find that.
Well, she wrote an entire something that wasn't, like, a 3-chapter short story. about this character, and it's just as boring as the other books, And then she wrote The Host, which... I've seen I have no idea what The Host is about.
The trailer is so shitty.
The trailer is a bunch of still images Photoshop is what the trailer is.
It is. It's the most low-rent fucking... That is... I have seen fan-made trailers for things better than that.
Definitely. And,
If you went to the Hunger Games, like all three of us did... I'm assuming you did.
I did.
Did you... Todd, when you went to the Hunger Games, did you see trailers for the host? Because we went to different showings.
Wait, the trailer for which?
The host. It's the one with Saoirse Ronan. It's like
you're...
I
know.
I think we were spared that one, actually.
No, but they had that and the Breaking Dawn 2 trailer, and when the Breaking Dawn 2 trailer came out...
And I laughed my ass off.
Everyone laughed their ass off, and it was hilarious.
It reminds me... Yeah, that happened to me, too, and it reminded me just a little bit of that, you know, when they had... Directly after The Last Airbender came out, they had that movie that M. Night Shyamalan produced, Devil.
The Devil, and everyone boos.
When his name popped up,
God,
everyone boos. And I was thinking, like, man, you decided to market it that way? Guys.
After he ruined one of the best and most beloved modern series ever, of our time, like, really?
Yeah, that was not your smartest decision ever. That's an issue that I haven't discussed a lot. I've wanted to discuss this for a while. How much do these movies cost? 100 million plus?
I would say 100 million. The first one was actually relatively low budget, and,
Then rephrase. How much do these movies make?
A shit ton.
Metric ton of money. More money than I will ever see in my life.
And yet all the makeup looks cheap.
The
wigs look cheap.
I wanted to address the fucking wolves. Oh my God. I have seen better CGI on Sci-Fi Channel original movies.
Oh girl, that is some shade.
Look at them. Now, one more movie that came to mind for me.
Which one?
I don't know if either of you remember seeing the movie Dominion.
Nah.
That was
the Exorcist movie?
The Exorcist prequel, where basically they let him make it, and they're like, well, they call it Home Miss Paul Express. It's like, tell you what, literally the death effect. So all the effects are horribly low budget because their money got yanked out of them.
And
the terrible CGI jackal that appears in the movie. That's pretty much exactly what I see when I look at those wolves.
I was actually thinking about the CGI from the movie of A Sound of Thunder, where it literally
Ben Kingsley, why?
Fuck you.
Where it literally looks like the minute their budget ran out, like someone ran into the server, like rendering them and yanked all the cords out. But like the defining moment with the CGI for me is like they have a big wolf fight in the second one, and I can see the CGI dirt.
I know.
Like the dirt they put down, CGI, to let them rip up so that they won't rip up.
I look at those transformations, and they also have to do it then and now. It's like, then you show the Rick Baker transformation from American Werewolf in London, and it's all detailed and awesome, and you're seeing this very slow, agonizing transformation. Then you see now where it's just the instant CGI changeover.
Even like, the transformation sequence in the Wolfman remake looked... good. It looks good.
And it's the only thing good about that movie.
Exactly. But, you know, I'm just, you know, I think it was just because, you know, the last one I saw, the last werewolf movie I saw won an Oscar for its werewolf effects.
And then we have, I mean, like, and that movie made no money, whereas you have these Twilight movies where they make bank for Summit, and it's like, why not at least these, you know what, everything about the source material is shit. Can't you at least make it look good?
Like, the werewolf from Ginger Snaps look better.
Hey, the werewolf and Ginger Snaps looked fucking awesome, and they had little to no money doing.
I know, that's my point. Like,
oh, okay. They were insulting Ginger Snaps.
No, I'm saying Ginger Snaps is a direct to DVD movie, and it still looked better.
As I was saying,
this is the ball over here. The werewolf movie Waxwork looked better.
Ouch!
I've not seen
that.
That
was a blatant guy in a suit.
The werewolf and Monster Squad looked better.
There we go. Yeah. That's our bar.
And that's our podcast. This is Liz.
James.
Todd.
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 Bye.